If you could, open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a book we've been going through in the young adults class on Wednesday nights, which is our the night we break up into groups, family fundamentals. One of the things at the beginning of the year, Gary had really encouraged us, and I agreed also, is teachers to really try to hammer home application. It's so easy for us as believers to sit down, especially in the world we're living today. Everything is fast forward. Gotta go. We're actually taught this at work. You know, you gotta go. If you're not moving, you're not doing something, you're not making money, which has a way of spilling over into our everyday lives. So how do we apply these things of God's Word to our lives? How does it become real? How do these things happen? One of the things we also went over in our class is Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's going to pierce through bone and marrow, soul, spirit. What we realize is that there's going to be times that this Word of God is going to cut and it's going to hurt. And I keep coming back to my class and I keep letting them know, look, if you are listening to what's being taught and the Word of God convicts your heart and you become angry, that's not a reason to leave. That's more of a reason to stay. Because what we realize is the Word of God has been written to us, given to us, to train us in righteousness. We don't naturally want to do this. We are in the flesh. We are naturally full of pride, full of sin. We don't want to be taught anything because we know it all already. And so what we realize is that the Word of God has been given to us and that it's going to convict us. It's going to cut. It's going to hurt sometimes. But that's when you need to go into prayer and say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? Because, Lord, I know enough to know that your Spirit is convicting my heart right now. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would, read verse 12 with me. And this is a verse you're going to want to underline, this verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. What does that look like? Take hold. Grab this. Seize upon anything with two hands. Make this a part of you. Take hold of the eternal life. That we could actually live a life in Christ that would be of eternal value. But there's an opposite of that. There's something called temporal. That we could also live a life of temporal value. We can sow in the flesh, as Galatians tells us. Fight the good fight. What does that look like in a Christian's life? Well, I believe in verse 11 he tells us. But flee from these things, you man of God. Verses 1 through 10, fleeing from those things, pride, strange doctrine, teaching things that do not conform to godliness, but teaching the things that really align to man's desires and greed. You go into the rest of it, don't be a lover of money. Flee from those things, you man of God. Pursue righteousness. The word pursue there, these are action words, pursue. Okay? Going after, taking hold of righteousness and godliness. What does that look like in our lives as Christians? What does it look like? How do we apply this? One of the things that I just kept coming back to, my own personal walk, was do not do what we do for man or to elevate ourselves, but that God would be glorified in us. That we don't do what we do in some way to elevate ourselves, and we don't do what we do to somehow seek the accolades of man. That man would come and say, oh, this is just a great job. It's just, you're really doing a great job. But we all wrestle with that because we are in the flesh. But he says, pursue. Go after these things. Faith and love. What is that going to look like in my life? How does that become real? How does that become real? Don't love money. Verse 10 is clear. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But my faith tells me that God supplies all my needs. That's what my faith tells me. And my faith tells me that I have to trust Him and walk in the Spirit, but not to love money. And that money does not take care of me, but that God does. What is love? Love is that I do not think of myself. I do not seek my own. That maybe somebody has done me wrong, and so I'm angry and I'm holding on to anger and I become bitter. Well, that is not love. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So if we're holding on to this thing that we felt that we've been done wrong in, well, I'm not pursuing these things. I'm not. He says, you got to pursue love. That's one of the reasons why I believe he puts perseverance in there next. You're going to need perseverance because in our flesh, we're going to want to fall back to trying to please man. We're going to want to fall back to getting the accolades of man. And also, we're going to want to fall back to thinking that our money is what takes care of us. And we're going to want to fall back to holding on to anger. Because when we hold on to anger, somehow we got the upper hand. But love is clear. We don't take an account of wrong suffered. These are things that are pursuing godliness. This is godliness. This is righteousness. It's totally opposite from the way we think. His ways are not our ways. But that he is training us through the word of God. Perseverance in taking up the cross and gentleness. That word gentleness is something we all need. That when we talk to people, it is not rough. It is not insulting or condemning. It's not looking down upon. But that is gentle. It's kind. It's showing a softness towards others. So fighting the good fight of faith, what's that look like in our lives? That each day, as we as Christians, our feet hit the floor. We have to come back to this. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, I beat my flesh into submission so that when I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. But fighting that good fight of faith is not with these or with this, but it's with us as Christians desiring to live a life that's honoring to God, that we would love him, and that we would go so hard after this. Lord, I just want to please you today. May I have an opportunity today to share your good news with somebody that's out here. Today, Lord, today, can I be a part of leading someone to Jesus Christ today? Even though that person's done me wrong and they treat me badly, Lord, I desire to pray for that person that you would forgive them, and that, Lord, I would be a witness for you today. Pursuing these things. Love doesn't take an account of wrong suffering. Gentleness in the way that we treat our brothers and sisters. It's a lesson we all need to learn. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you now, I thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word. Because, Father, without your word, we would not know how to act. We would elevate ourselves. We would go by our own opinions, man's standards. I believe that's what's wrong with the world today as well. That we've taken our standards and we've raised them above yours. And Lord, that's just plain wrong. But we as Christians need to come back to your word. We need to come back to humility. And we need to trust you in all things. And Lord, we need to pray and ask that you would change our hearts. That we would not carry these things. We would not desire to walk in the flesh. But we would desire to walk after the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And walk in your spirit, Lord, and be a witness for you. Father, please forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And Lord, please be with us as we desire to be a witness for you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.